Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We got in my definition, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.
All right, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Chris Andres. Check us out at MWCConnection.com, Twitter, MWC Connection, Facebook, of course, Mountain West Connection, all the disclaimers, legal ID, all sorts of stuff. And also, we have a third person joining us this evening. We have Sean Walker, who does some Utah State, and if you like soccer, we're not going to talk about it, but he writes about RSL with KSL.com, so.
That's okay. We'll talk about soccer later.
Okay. So say hello to everybody, Sean.
I'm always down to talk a little bit soccer, guys. This is the semi-annual LDS General Conference review podcast, right?
Bullshit. Get the hell out.
No, that's been taken care of.
All right, let's talk some Mountain West football then.
Perfect. So what we do, yeah, we got Sean hanging out with us. Like I said, Utah State. Apparently, moments ago, I did not know he went to BYU. So it'll be interesting when we go through all the games, but before we get to any of the games, we'll start with Sean this really quick. Or Chris, have you said hello yet? Oh, yeah, you already swore, so we're good. So, yeah, people know who you are. No, so what, as we mentioned before, we're talking about what the crazy game was. You got Fresno beating San Diego State or Utah State, BYU. But right now, who's the best team in this league? Do you have an answer for that? Because I don't really.
I'm going to go with yes to that question. I'm sure there is a best team. Yeah, I'm sure there is a best team in the Mountain West Conference, but at this moment, I'm not entirely certain I can give that to you. I mean, let's see. Looking at the standings, let's go with Air Force. Air Force, I think they might be the best team in the league. So pick them out of the hat. Sure, Falcons get it for this weekend.
Week to week, it changes. I think I still have CSU as my number one team, but it's every week it's a different team.
I'll go ahead. I'll say it.
Boise?
I agree.
With who?
Fly Boys are the best team in the Mountain West right now.
They played pretty good versus Air Force. They had a trick play, even though I put on their Facebook page, the guy's like, I hate the word trick play. Isn't a trick play technically defined to trick the defense, so every play is a trick play? I'm like, dude, come on.
When Air Force runs a trick play, how much of it is them trying to be tricky, and how much of it is just simply that they have a running back and a quarterback, so who knows what they're going to do from any sentence.
Yeah, I just
they have an advantage of having all three at the same time.
Yes, I replied, what would you prefer? The announcer say, here's a non-traditional play. He's like, I love it. I'm like, good for you. All right, so let's get to the games here. I assume you were one of the three of us was at this Utah State BYU game. Is that correct?
Jeremy was at the game?
No, I was not. I thought you would be at the game.
I was there, yes.
I was just, I attempted to. Well, I kind of tried. Whatever. I wasn't there. I was watching on my computer at McDonald's, so that's what I tell you what I was doing. But with this game, okay, for those who don't know, if you're somehow not aware of anything, about anything, Utah State, can we say thoroughly beat BYU on Friday night? Is that safe to say?
Yeah, that's an understatement of the century.
Yeah, roll into Provo and open up a pre-general conference can on BYU. Worst loss four BYU, two Utah State in 37 years, I think it's fair to say.
And first win in Provo in that same amount of time.
Namely because that was their first loss overall in 37 years. So, yeah.
So, can I just say that the, you know what the tying connection between the two losses in Provo are?
What Jim McMahon?
Yeah.
Oh!
Jim McMahon was at both games.
No, that was before Jim McMahon.
No,
Jim McMahon was a sophomore backup quarterback during the last loss in 1978, and I believe he also had four punts, I think. He was our starting punter at the time.
I did not realize. I thought he was there and started in 1980, but okay, that makes sense. And then also, I assume everybody saw his nice,
so, yeah,
lovely
it's
jacket.
All Jim McMahon's fault, and they retired his number.
Hall of Fame and everything. Welcome to the club.
And it's about time.
Oh, yeah. There's obvious reasons. Graduation rules, kind of a weird thing at BYU. But he's there. He's a great quarterback. I think he was hoping for that Holiday Bowl comeback versus SMU. It was 81. Down three touchdowns. We're going to make a comeback and win, but not even close. So, with this game, when it first started, I'll ask Chris this, because I know how much Chris loves, air quotes, loves BYU. What did you think of that with the first drive? Do you think it was game over, BYU's going to win when they march down, score 7-0 right away? Did I lose everybody here?
Is Chris there?
Ah! He's dialing me back in. Lovely! Now we may have to stop.
We'll edit that out.
Well, yeah, let me actually pause that.
We'll use my safe word, pants.
So, yeah. So, BYU scores the first touchdown in the game, and, you know, very, very quick. And from there, at least to me, it was one of those things of, okay, can Utah State at least keep it close? Because then I switched to San Diego State, Fresno State for a while.
Terrible. No, but that game, here's the thing about the game. Like, overall, there's so much we could talk about it because the way it turned out, all the injuries with BYU. Even before Taysom Hill went out, BYU was up, or Utah State was up 21-14. They were doing their thing.
Yeah, they had thoroughly stopped. Outside of that first drive, they had, you know, thoroughly controlled BYU in the areas where they like to take control of offense. And, it was, as you talked about in the preview podcast, BYU had never seen a defense like this. And so that's part of the thing.
Of course, yeah, defense. I think I mentioned Virginia and Houston were close in yards per play, yards per game. I think plus minus turnover margin, but Utah State, much better. Brian Sweet, Kyle Frackle, Nick Vigil, which we'll get to later. Or, excuse me. I said that in the comments. Frackle's out for the year. I'm an idiot.
Frackle's out. He was magically playing. His ghost was playing.
Yeah, his ghost.
It's okay, though. I mean, I confuse Torrey Green and Kyler Frackle all the time. The resemblance there is just uncanny, so it's all right.
So you want to know what my favorite part about that game was, outside of the fact that BYU lost in a humiliating fashion?
The fans left early?
No. No. Nick Vigil, running back.
Nick Vigil, yeah. Because I assume nobody, because I listened to the post-game show with Matt Wells. I don't know how they kept that under wraps since July.
Yeah, well, Vigil's... The Nick Vigil experiment at running back hasn't been a total secret. It has been known that Utah State worked with him a little bit over the summer as a running back, but they didn't get terribly far into it. And then Wells was explaining he got injured just a couple days before training camp. A couple days before hardcore practices started up. And so because of the nature of the injury, which he didn't really talk about anymore after that, but because of the nature of that injury, Vigil's plans of running back were totally scrapped until the bye week.
Yeah, and then I take that as a person who wants to get the cheap page views, he planned the whole time for against BYU because that's the first bye week, right? Not naturally.
It's gotta be. It's gotta
be. Oh yeah, no doubt, right?
And there's no, but there has to be some truth to that. Like, okay, he's hurt. We're not gonna do too much with it. We'll save it for the bye week. And when I assumed hearing him, if you're going to bring a guy for running back, you would think a couple plays a game. He led the team in rushing. He even had a cutback, change direction to get about 4 or 5 yards when it was a loss of a couple. He had a touch.
Oh, yes.
It was amazing.
16 rushes on 59 yards, one touchdown, 3.6 yards per carry. So, yeah, I mean, he He actually looked like a legitimate running back out there. He cradled the ball really well, which surprised me. I noted that in the first quarter. He actually was able to pocket the ball well rather than just kind of hold it there like some quarterbacks do when they run, you know. He put it right up against his chest, and he was protecting it and had ball security on the mind. And I mean, he wasn't shying away from contact either. He was just going right over guys.
It was. He's holding as tight as he could, and he's ready to go. Yeah, so he would just, like I said, he played quarter. They said he played running back in high school, so he would not. He knew what he's doing running the ball. But that many carries, it's just surprising. He runs that many times, runs that well. And Utah State needed the running back play because Joe Hill, been a little banged up, hasn't been very well. And you can't only rely on JoJo Natson so many times to do a jet sweep and get all those running plays. So that it surprised everybody. BYU didn't know what to do. They had no idea, but he's just. They brought all the tricks out for this game. Not even tricks, but just a unique play to give BYU something to think about.
Yeah, and when JoJo Natson, wide receiver and punt returner extraordinaire, Bruce JoJo Natson, is your leading rusher three games into the season, you knew Utah State was going to go in some other direction that was new. You just didn't know exactly where it came from, and you didn't think it would come out of a really crucial cog in the fourth best rush defense in the country.
Yeah, well, also, if you look who BYU's played, they've really had to go against a good running attack either. Virginia, Houston doesn't do much. They don't. UConn, no. I'm not saying this BYU team was overrated, but there were aspects of this team where. Because this is Bronson Confucci first came back for, I think he's been out for a couple games. He expects, oh, he'll be fine. They'll have Marcus Johnson, whoever's going to play. Alani Fu hasn't been all that great. And they took advantage of all those guys who should have been good. But the kind of big surprise, which shouldn't have been a surprise, dude, Hunter Sharp tearing it up, man. 72-yard touchdown pass, reception, 173.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh. Pretty good. I think they found the receiver there. This is, like I said, third straight receiver. He's going to be their number one guy, it seems like, going forward for the whole season. Devontae Robinson also had 98 yards with a pair of touchdowns. It was. Yeah, and so, like I said, Sharp, third straight 100-yard game. Another touchdown. That huge 72-yarder strike, which. Was right, if I believe if my reading's correctly, right after Taysom Hill broke his leg in the game, go up 28-14, and that was the ball game pretty much.
Yeah, and I was talking about this with a couple of reporters before the game, but when Chucky Keaton was ruled out for the year, about midweek last week, there seemed to be a lot of panic spreading around Utah State's fan base and Darrell Garrett saying, well, we don't know. Well, maybe we need to adjust expectations and that kind of thing. But as I was talking about it, we came to realize Garrettson might be a better, in a lot of ways, a better sort of true quarterback than Chucky Keaton. That's not saying Chucky Keaton's not amazing, because he really is. And there are things that he does that I would dare say nobody else in college football can do. He's athletic, he's fast, he can run the football like no one else. But Darrell Garrettson has an arm. He can throw passes on a dime. He can find receivers with even an inch of open space. And I think you really saw him and that receiving corps take advantage a little bit of BYU secondary.
I thought the same thing. Like, when he came in, I figured, oh, not a big deal. He'll be fine. Because last year he went 8 games, 6-1 as a starter, beat Northern Illinois in the bowl game, a ranked Northern Illinois team. But if you look at his numbers, he was just okay. Outside of beating up on New Mexico and UNLV, he wasn't very good. It was still that whole defense. When you had Mo Alexander, Nevin Lawson, adding in when Fackrell was playing, yes, he was playing last year, the Vigil brothers, BJ Larson, and then Arkansas State game. It's like, well, maybe he's not that good. I changed my expectations wildly. I was with that, all the Utah State fans. Like, maybe they might win 7 games. Maybe defense will be good enough to beat UNLV, New Mexico, San Jose State, those type of guys. But is this, like, well, I'm asking both you guys, is this who we should be expecting from Garrettson? Because this is a big game. Utah State wants to beat BYU. This is the first ranked win they outside Northern Illinois. This is the first big time win since Chucky Keaton's been on campus. We all know they lost to Auburn in the close game. Oklahoma, bad coaching decision against Wisconsin, missed a field goal. couldn't beat Utah, beat a bad Utah team. Is this going forward, or should we still make it take a step back because they're playing such a high-profile team Friday night? Chris, go ahead.
I'm really not too sure. It's one of those things that I can't expect Utah State to take a step back right now. I think if they do take a step back, it's going to be because of the fact that the injuries finally got caught on up to them, and they found themselves in a situation where they didn't know what to do. And I honestly thought that was going to happen this week, but obviously I was wrong.
Yeah, let me just run some numbers by you guys right now, because I think this is an interesting point in the 2014 season where Chucky Keane and Darrell Garrettson have actually played the exact same amount of time. Both have 2.5 games. They've been in 3 games. Chucky Keane to this point, 51 for 92 for 426 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. That's a pass efficiency of 55.4%. Darrell Garrettson's 57 for 82, 710 yards, 6 touchdowns for an efficiency of 65.5%. So right now, just judging on this season alone, with roughly equal snaps, equal amount of time played, I mean, you can make the argument of maybe unequal competition, but whatever. But everything else being equal, Darrell Garrettson has actually outplayed Chucky Keane.
I think part of that could be, not to discount anything you just went over and said, but watching the Tennessee game and the Wake Forest game a little bit, I'm wondering if people think, oh, we got Chucky Keaton, he'll do it all for us. Whereas it's Garrettson, we have to help him get open, we have to help him block better, do more things. I'm not saying they're working harder for Garrettson than Keaton, but you would think Keaton could do so much more. Maybe figure, oh, he'll find a way to get me the ball, find a way to get open. I'm wondering if there's a little bit of that.
Well, I think maybe there is, and it's from Utah State's offense. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but guys know now that they have to step up, that they have a guy who's a more of a true pocket passer, and who maybe can't make as many plays just by himself. So now Hunter Sharp wants to do a little more. JoJo Natson wants to do a little more. Ronald Butler wants to do a little more. I mean, heck, even Nick Vigil and Joe Hill want to do a little bit more. It's just that extra little bit of a push that really goes from Garrettson having a great year to Keaton being, in a lot of ways, kind of mediocre, just a little bit average.
So with this game, let's get back, because there's a big key. All the BYU fans will say, oh, Taysom Hill went out. We lost, Brandon Kersley, key offensive lineman. They lost a linebacker. Was it Lonnie Fua that got left the game, I think? Lost a lot of guys leaving the game. Do you think they still could have won if Taysom Hill has played the whole game? I'm thinking,
no.
Maybe, you don't think so?
No. I'm sorry. I'll jump in on that one and answer.
That's fine. Go ahead. Continue more than just no. I'd like to hear more about that.
This was a game where clearly Utah State had – it seemed like they had the upper say. Even after the first drive, they had the upper hand in stopping BYU with whatever they did. They had the upper hand in finally learning how to score points – against a big opponent. It seemed like everything.
Oh, did we just lose Chris?
He's still there. Hold on a second. This is lovely. Well, we'll just continue. We'll get Chris back on here. Looks like we have some difficulties there. I get where Chris is coming from, where it took him how many drives to get that touchdown. But my main thing is on this game, when you see Utah State stop BYU drive after drive. Like, after that first drive, BYU 3-and-out. BYU in about 6 or so plays, could punt the ball. BYU, it took them until the second quarter to actually get that second touchdown of the game. And so that's where I'm thinking they're going to be in this game, because that first drive was deadly. Second drive, they scored, was pretty good, but I'm just thinking that third, fourth touchdown to go 28-14, yeah, it could have been about Taysom's out, defense is deflated, but they still made a big play. 72-yard pass play, you got it. That could have happened even if Taysom didn't hurt his ankle, because nobody knew how bad it was at the time. So you can't say, oh, the defense was deflated because their star quarterback went out. They just knew he went out and had a tough time walking. And that's where I'm getting at. It's like, they would have scored that touchdown either way, Hill was in or not.
Yeah, and to that point in the game, Taysom Hill didn't have an official diagnosis. Maybe there were some inklings of it, but he was still in the stadium. He was still being checked out by the medical staff on the sidelines. He hadn't actually exited the building.
It wasn't the next possession, because he got hurt on third down, right? And then they had to get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
So it was the very next possession. So, yeah, it was before anything was going on. There was maybe 5 minutes, if that, whatever it is, between that two plays and a touchdown. There was no time to know what was going on.
Yeah. The one argument that I might make in favor of BYU with Taysom Hill is that Utah State scored 21 of its 35 points in the second quarter. Four touchdowns if you count the very end of the first quarter with the second quarter. So really, that was a very crucial stretch. But Taysom Hill's also not playing linebacker.
Yeah.
So who's to say that Utah State doesn't go down and score those points even with Hill in the game? I mean, do they still go down and score those points? And then BYU, you know, still comes back and it's a much closer game. And, you know, by that point, maybe it comes down to a kicker, which if that's the case, I probably trust BYU.
Yes. More. All right, Chris, you got your back here?
Yeah.
Okay, so finish your thought here on what you said, that how BYU would have won if Hill was in the whole game.
No, I don't know. I don't know where I fell off.
Basically. Pretty much no. That's where it fell off. He's like, no, not a chance.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So basically, it was something along the lines. Can you guys still hear me? I'm going to start doing this.
We're good. Hopefully, yeah.
Because it seems like every single time I start talking, I get cut off.
Get to the point, then hurry.
It seems like one of those things. Utah State had an answer for everything BYU was doing. Sure, BYU took the early score, but Utah State had an answer for it. Score, response, score, response, score, response. And then when Utah State finally took the lead, this was just before Hill went down, BYU didn't seem to have an answer for Utah State taking the lead. And so even if Taysom Hill was in there, the Utah State defense was playing hard enough and confusing them enough that it seemed like Utah State would have scored anyway.
Well, they were getting after him too, so it wasn't what they were making easy for him. So last thing, because we need to actually talk about other games besides this one game tonight. So
yeah, I guess.
We'll get to some other games, but one thing about BYU which I thought was odd, I believe everyone would agree with me that the best football player probably in this game, healthy or not, maybe Jamal Williams. Is that a too stretch of to say this about this team, either team?
I think he's definitely up there. Yeah, for
top,
sure.
Top three?
Oh, yeah.
Top three or four?
Yeah, I was going to say top two even. Him or Nick Vigil, but yeah.
Even with Casey, yeah, he's right there. But I spoke with Robert and I kind of know what he gets a feel for. I don't understand when you have a new quarterback in there who he didn't know his name in spring ball. No joke. He's like, who's our backup? Who's our backup? Oh, yeah, this guy, Stewart's our backup in spring ball. When he was the clear backup when the other guy, Amon Olsen, transferred to Southern Utah. So that tells you one thing. He doesn't really know who he was. But why is he throwing deep ball for deep ball instead of, here, run the ball a couple times with the best running back, probably out of the Pac-12, Mountain West, maybe even Big 12, one of the best running backs out west. Why was he not giving him the ball more often to get Christian Stewart more comfortable instead of, let's just go deep every play? I thought that was really odd play calling by him. And that really hurt him. And that's how Utah State was able to, part of the reason, they were able to kind of take care of the game.
To be fair, Jamal Williams did have 17 carries on that game. He was just shy of the century mark.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. I mean, he was averaging 5.8 yards per carry. So at the very least, you give that kid the ball, and you're fighting for a second or a third and short at the very least. And then you can try to, like Christian Stewart, you know, throw some short passes, maybe some bubble screens and whatnot to try to get his confidence up. But
He only had four carries in the third quarter. They had only three drives. But the first drive, the third quarter, when here's kind of the game probably changed a little bit. Utah State has to punt the ball. Christian Stewart gets his first full-on drive. He knows he's a guy at this point. He runs 7 yards, and then he gets sacked, a decent pass to Mitch Matthews, throws deep, and then they ended up with the tipped interception. Why are they throwing at the 8-yard line? I don't know. I figured at least that first drive run at Moratham. So I get your point. 99 yards. I was kind of surprised you had that many, but dude, he's in the backup quarterback.
Yeah, no, and when you bring in a backup quarterback, it seems like it's pretty common sense that you're going to want to try to lean on the run game as much as possible. And there wasn't a whole lot of that going on as soon as Stewart came in.
All right, let's move on. Huge win. Biggest win for Utah State in a very long time. Well, I guess last year's over the Illinois game, but for who they beat and how they beat them and what happened. Big win. All right, Fresno, San Diego State. So I saw a little bit of this this morning. I'm like, that's exactly how it sounded when I was watching the game.
Darkness falls across the land. That midnight hour is close at hand.
No, I made the error picking. I made the error picking the Aztecs to win this game with a true freshman quarterback on the road. Well, that was dumb on me.
Yeah, it was. I wouldn't say it was dumb because I picked them with you.
Well, to be fair, I think it was you guys and about, you know, 60% of the rest of the country. So don't be too hard on yourselves.
You know, Fresno State had beaten an FCS team and then they'd barely beaten New Mexico. I thought it was very reasonable.
Yeah.
I San Diego State better? Cool. Sure. Yeah. Even with Kaler's arm? Yeah. Sure. Why not? Because it's not like it's a rivalry game or anything like that.
I did find out the old oil can's only a couple years old, so it's not really – well, I guess the trophy rivalry is not that new, but it's been around for a while. But about an incomplete pass until the second quarter. He's inaccurate. He's overthrowing receivers. Also, I watched enough of this game, Phil. The receivers also dropped the ball quite a bit for the Aztecs.
And there were at least five drops.
Yeah, and they really need Azeel Ruffin to come back as soon as possible. As soon as possible. That would help them out quite a bit.
So it was one of those things. It was really weird. That, like, I had turned on to the CBS Sports Gamecast thingy where I started watching Utah State BYU. So I had the Gamecast, and, like, first play and said, like, Azeel Ruffin rushed for, like, 65 yards.
What?
Like, wait, he's back?
Oh, I love that.
But apparently they were wrong, and, yeah. Hey, how's this for a statistic? 9 for 24.
And news, if neither of you are aware, he's starting next week as well.
Yeah, I don't know how much credit either of you guys give to ESPN's total quarterback rating that they're trying to push. But Nick Bodden had a 9.3.
It's not out of 10, is it?
No, it's not. I have to see what the actual QBR is because, like, how they calculate it.
Well, Brian Burrell on the other side for Fresno wasn't a whole lot better, but he had a 27 QBR. So,
at least the best we can say, Bodden, they stuck with one quarterback. That's the best we could say for that Fresno
right,
team.
Exactly.
It only took 6 weeks to find one quarterback.
No, but they still use Brandon Connett in the game.
Yeah, they use him better than I thought. He didn't throw a pass, which is good because he's not a good thrower. That's what I mentioned every week. The coaches should listen to me a little bit because I'm like, have Burrell throw the ball, bring Connett, whatever you want to call it, the Wildcat, the stupid name, whatever the change of pace guy, the 300-pound
quarterback Ole Miss option.
Yeah, just a running quarterback in there.
The
do
Wild
that.
Bulldog.
Whatever, the Wild Hog down in Arkansas with Darren McFadden. But this blows everything up. San Diego State can't score any points. Donald Pumphrey does reasonably well with 94 yards, but isn't all that productive. Too many turnovers for the Aztecs. They 6-15 on third down is pretty bad. I don't know what to make of this team. Who's going to win the West? Is it Fresno going to somehow win the West Division?
Football Bob.
No.
Well, I do actually have a theory on who wins the West, and that could maybe move us a little bit in the next game if you guys are ready to move off of this.
Let's go.
One.
We're good. Fresno won, and we'll see how they keep going.
Here's my best team west of the Utah border. UNR. How about Nevada? 3-2 on the year. Tough loss to Boise State just this week, but I don't know. I mean, they hung in there with Boise, who's not the Boise State of years past, but they're certainly still the marquee, if not the best team, but the marquee team of the Mountain West Conference. How, I mean, I thought Nevada looked pretty good.
Four interceptions, man. That looks good to you, Cody Fajardo. There are some bad – it was an exciting game. There were some Boise State defense – they got some more defensive backs. I think Jeremy Ona was actually back in the lineup for this game.
The only reason why Nevada is winning the West is because San Jose State – they'll beat the tiebreaker in San Jose State.
That'll be the tiebreaker. So Chris, we know you're a Boise guy. How did you feel with this game starting? Because I thought Boise played very well to get up 30-21 at the half.
So I guess we're not going to go in chronological order. Okay.
We'll mix it up this time.
Okay, fine. Jeez. Four interceptions I was extremely happy about. And the thing that really annoyed me is we've seen Boise State defense be really decent the past couple weeks, and it seems like every single time we play Nevada, you could just throw that defense outside the window. It's what happens to me every single time. So the game going in at 30-21?
At halftime.
I had zero confidence. The thoughts just went into my head, and this is probably before both of you ever started following Boise State because they were in the WAC at the time.
Oh, I've been a Boise fan for a while, so you may underestimate that.
69-67 for overtime game. Still the current record of modern football scoring.
That's exciting. That's what I call that.
I was going to say, do you remember that game at all? Because I was at that game. And that was a game where Boise State had taken a huge lead over Nevada at halftime. And then Colin Kaepernick happened. And he just kept fighting back. And this is exactly I thought that Nevada was doing. Yeah, sure, they had given up four interceptions. But they kept on fighting. They were scoring. They were just plugging back. And let's not forget, Jay Ajayi fumbles twice.
Yeah, he fumbles.
No, he fumbles once. Hedrick fumbles once on a play where I have no clue. I guess it was similar to the butt fumble, but really he just ran into his own guy and just lost the ball. And then Hedrick threw an interception. Yes, that's another Hedrick interception, but guess what? That was a really good play. That was a screen out, and it just got jumped by Ian Sayoff.
It went for a touchdown, 32 yards.
Yeah, and so that was a huge swing. So when you get towards the end of this game, when you have the momentum swing that Nevada does, I pretty much was freaking out last night.
A lot of people were. So wait, well, Chris, who is this Jeremy McNichols character?
Jeremy McNichols he's either a true freshman or he's a redshirt freshman.
Not on the depth chart, I know that much.
wide receiver out of Long Beach, California. If I remember correctly, he went to Long Beach Poly.
Just wondering. He had a pretty big game. That's all I'm scared. Just wondering. Like, okay, I see this guy. He's doing a few things here. So
he's basically the replacement for Matt Miller once he leaves. I'm sorry, Lakewood, California. Lakewood High School.
Close enough. All right, so, Sean, you said you watched most of this game, so you still think Nevada can win the West after this performance?
Well, part of it is just what we were saying, in that I really don't know who to pick out West. Where if I'm putting up UNR against Fresno State, I definitely like that pick. If I'm putting them up against San Diego State after last night, Friday. What day is today?
This weekend.
Yeah. If I'm putting them up against San Diego State as of late, yeah, I think I like that pick for UNR. The thing I do like is that Cody Fajardo, yeah, he's a little bit erratic as a passer, but he does have that dual threat quarterback in him. He's really good running the ball. He ran for 71 yards and 2 scores this game. He's found a really good receiver in Hassan Henderson, who I spent several years working in Las Vegas, and I actually lived right next door to Las Vegas High in the Hassan Henderson years. Name drop. The athleticism of Henderson is just unreal right now. So with the way he's going, I think the chemistry between him and Fajardo is starting to pick up. And I could definitely see the Wolfpack making waves. A fairly down West Division.
He had 7 catches for the second time, first 100-yard game. Him, Richie Turner can catch the ball pretty well for Nevada there, and even Jericho Richardson. I've always said what Nevada really needs, they still need it. They need a running back to complement Fajardo. It should be Don Jackson.
They have Cody Fajardo.
You gotta have a second guy. You can't. I get your point, but you can't. He's not Taysom Hill who's going to run the ball every time and get hurt. Sorry, but they need another running back. They need Don Jackson to be more than 11. Okay, give me more than 11 for 22. Is that too much to ask for?
This is one of those things, though, that the pistol, especially the way the pistol, how it's run at Nevada, it really is dependent on a top running back quarterback. It really didn't have this 1-2 punch. I mean, even look at the Colin Kaepernick Vaiatua years. That was always between the two of them.
Well, they did 2 years in a row, 3 guys for 1,000-yard rushing.
Yeah. Well, and the third guy was always there, but nobody ever kind of, you know, depended on him. He was in there, you know, picking up the big yards.
Well, he's still going to have a second guy. That's my thing. They had it.
And they did find a second guy.
James Butler.
I'm sorry, James Butler, 7 carries for 63 yards. That's a hefty amount.
Best game by far. You notice he had a long of 51 there too. So
yeah, and even if you take away that 51, that's what, 6 for 12.
Yeah, it's about what Don Jackson was running.
About what Don Jackson's doing. So there you go.
So with this game, with
Fajardo, take away the 56 yarder that he ran.
He's a quarterback.
With the touchdown.
He's excusable. It's a quarterback. With this game, okay, Boise wins. Where do you put Boise in the Mountain Division? Because we already met at the top of the show. We already talked who's the best team, really. Was the Air Force game more of an aberration? I hate saying that because Air Force played so well defensively.
Air Force has played awesome. And that we'll go, and I guess that'll be the next game that we've transferred in. I think that game was an aberration of such. I think it was 7 turnovers is excessive even for this Boise State team. And communication wasn't, I mean, everything that went wrong, that could go wrong, went wrong in that game. And I'm saying this even though I missed the game,
fumble at your own red zone, the other end of the field.
Yeah, it's just like, it was basically Murphy's Law in that whole game. But was it an aberration? It was kind of an aberration, but mostly it was Air Force just coming out and dominating. And just like as they did, in the first leg of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy yesterday.
Yeah. Start off quick start, 14-7 after the first quarter. Yep. With the non-traditional passing play there from Jalen Robinette. I believe that's how you say it. Robinette. I'll go with Robinette because that sounds good, right?
Robinette.
Not Robinette. Nobody's with me on that.
Just run with it.
Come on.
As long as you can spell it right, I'm okay.
Of course. That's for mostly what we do. So they win the Commander-in-Chief first leg. They're 4-1. They beat Navy 30-21. I felt the reason they won the game, Keenan Reynolds for Navy did not – he only had 27 yards on the ground. He had 30 touchdowns last year. They're over 30. He had the one. He didn't do anything special, and the Air Force defense pretty much shut him down. And Chris Swan got 103 yards, but shut down Keenan Reynolds, and you're good to go to beat Navy. Simple as that.
That's what we've seen in the past few weeks when Navy has lost. One game, Navy was actually Keenan Reynolds was actually out of the game.
Injured for a little bit.
Yeah, and then last game he came back, but they, you know, they were able to, Western Kentucky was able to shut him down pretty well. I'm more impressed with the fact of Air Force actually airing out the ball. Cale Pearson, 11 of 16, 112 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I mean, that shows, those are short passes, but that's red zone efficiency right there.
Yeah, that might be the first 112-yard passer for Air Force since the Eisenhower administration, right?
Good one. How about you check 3 weeks ago when they beat Georgia State?
I was going to say the Jordan Jefferson years.
Tim Jefferson, you mean?
Tim Jefferson. Jordan Jefferson was LSU.
Yeah, we get your point. They don't throw the ball very much. Yeah, we. completely understandable.
But. And what you saw here with Air Force Navy, the little bit that I watched, I watched only a handful of plays, but what I was seeing was two very classic triple option teams just running at each other in hardcore smash map football, bring you back to 1899 when Army and Yale were the best teams in the country, kind of a game. And I think that matchup played really poorly when Air Force knocked off Boise State, because Boise State is a team, and with all due respect, Chris, but Boise State's very much a team where Jay Ajayi runs that entire offense. And because Air Force has that triple option attack that they can practice against every day in practice, they're really good at getting to the line and shutting down the run game and just, I mean, making things really annoying, I guess, really pesky, for lack of a better word, for those runners. So you saw that a little bit with, you saw that with this game, and you saw that a little bit against Boise as well. And I think Air Force is going to continue to give. I don't know if they're going to keep winning like they have so much as they jump into the heart of the Mountain West schedule, but I think they're going to continue to keep just giving fits to schools that rely on running the ball so much.
That's what they always do. They give everybody fits. Yeah. You got the cut blocks. Yeah. Everybody hates playing against them. For people I've known who played against Air Force, they hate it. And also, not to backtrack too much, but that was only the third time ever Boise State played Air Force, and the first time in Colorado Springs. So there's that as well. And at this point, Air Force, they already doubled the win total from last year. They're probably going to go to a bowl game. They'll beat Army. They'll beat UNLV. They'll beat New Mexico. They'll win at least seven games this year.
Yeah, this is one of those things that, I mean, we previewed the season, and we were like, is Air Force going to win more than three or four games? And here it is. They're 4-1. They're 3-0 at home. There should be zero reason why they can't beat Army and win the Commander-in-Chief's trophy with zero problems. Army, while they've been looking better this year, they have not looked, still have not looked good. Like, ever. I can't remember the last
not
time.
Not a long time, yeah.
Maybe since the 1940s is when the last time Army looked good.
Yeah, those type of games. All right, let's move on next game. Let's go to Tulsa, Colorado State. I saw a little bit because it was online. Lovely campus insiders. This is a blow, 42-17. Garrett Grayson played reasonably well. I guess Nick Stevens came in because it's a blowout, but dude, Tulsa's just terrible. They're just bad.
Well, yeah, and you're going up against just a not very good Tulsa team. I think D. Hart, is it fair to call him the surprise of the Mountain West Conference? I guess because he didn't really play here, but.
It's a little bit. I loved him in the Colorado game when he broke out. Then he did nothing versus Boise State, nothing versus UC Davis. And then the last two games, Boston College, Tulsa, he has, two touchdowns for the last game, but 117 versus Boston College, 147 on the ground versus Tulsa. He's a big playability, as a couple plays over 40 yards the past few games. He is a big surprise, and it's a good thing Colorado State got him, but it is a surprise because he's been so great and also so bad.
Can I break out my John Gruden impersonation?
Go for it.
I call this guy Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because we don't know which one's going to turn out each week.
That's reasonable. Good enough. There you go. I'll take that. They also, one guy, because they didn't have their backup, they had to, I believe he's Jason Olden, the junior from upstate New York. He got some playing time, but nothing much to say. Rashard Higgins set some records, 4 touchdowns. He'll probably be the player of the week. It's just a game that blew him out, and they're 4-1, and I have nothing much more to say because I saw about 10 minutes of this game. Folks, we can't watch every game, if you're wondering. It's kind of difficult.
That's probably all we really need to spend on that. Colorado State, great-looking team, 4-1 overall, 2-0 in the Mountain West Conference.
2-0 at home.
Or 2-0 at home, sorry.
Don't make that mistake. Boise State fans will get on top of you. And get on top of you if you get to put the non over a non-conference when you tweet something out. So be careful with that.
Sorry. So 4-1, 1-1 in the Mountain West. I still think, all things considered, this is probably the front runner at this point to win the Mountain Division. disagreements. I know Chris will probably disagree with me, but
the only problem, Boise has to lose another game for that to happen.
Yeah, I don't completely disagree right now, but it does bring up some issues with that whole tiebreaker thing.
So yeah,
Boise. Regardless, there's a lot of football left to be played. So front runner in it for a division title right now doesn't mean anything, especially when you got Utah State that hasn't even started conference play. So.
Yeah, and they play Air Force next week. So that should
be
fun. Next game. It's football. Bob finally made the choice that we all wanted to make about 3 weeks ago, Chris.
I tell you what, Jeremy Mouse. Old Football Bob knows what he's doing. He's going to come out and dominate UTSA on the lines.
And is your quarterback going to be Lamar Jordan finally every game?
Yeah, it better be.
it has to be. I know you probably
look at this. Hey, it was 3-0 at halftime, UTSA. It was 9-0 before New Mexico started scoring.
Come from behind win. You're down 9-0.
Yeah, right. We can actually consider that a come from behind victory.
Well, he had a big play. Lamar Jordan had a 61-yard run, and then Caruso Gombe took it in from 1 yard out to make it 9-7. But and then they also had Jarrell Presley to ice the game that won in the fourth quarter. But I don't know how much you've heard of us chatting about the game, Sean, but we discussed Cole Gauchy. Me and Chris love him. He runs the offense extremely well. It's the triple option, pistol option, but he cannot throw the ball to save his life. We're like, if he could pretend to throw, this team could be pretty good.
And Cole Gauchy also home to the second best name in the Mountain West Conference behind Air Force's Weston Steelhammer.
Steelhammer, yeah.
Absolutely.
But we're like, because Lamar Jordan can do both. He can throw reasonably, he can throw much better than Gauchy. Even though Gauchy, Chris, he goes 2 for 2.
Goodness. Do we have quarterback controversy now?
No. Lamar Jordan could do both. He better be the guy. Maybe bring Gauchy in, similar to what Fresno did with Brandon Connett and Brian Burrell. Maybe bring Gauchy a couple plays here and there to do that. But it has to be Lamar Jordan. He runs the ball so well. Plus, he follows us on Twitter and retweets our stuff. So that's why I want him to be the starter. That's a good,
yeah, and,
good reason.
By the way, we have Cale Pearson following us now.
Woohoo! Yes. We're blown up. But also, one last thing. We don't need to go too much into this game, but again, how was it a 21-point favorite for UTSA? Anybody?
Sean, you want to take a stab at this? Because I live in Vegas, and I still can't figure that out.
Sorry, guys. I'm back. What happened?
Thank you for that. No,
I just barely came back.
No, but how was Texas? How was you? We finished up the New Mexico game, but how in the heck was UTSA a 3-touchdown favorite? Anything?
Lots of hype.
They're 1-4 now, by the way.
Remember also that Vegas lines are never based on who Vegas thinks is going to win.
Sure,
It's based on what does the house need to do to get people to bet the other way.
That so basically like lots and lots of people were betting on UTSA until they put basically moved the spread so much.
Well, let's be honest. New Mexico's not exactly a powerhouse.
Yeah, but UTSA is 1-3. It's like, I would have been fine if it was like 15. I'm like, that's still a lot, but I get that, what they're wanting to do to bet both sides. But 21, I would have driven to Wendover just to I'll put $50 on New Mexico to cover. That would have been a simple.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot.
It was just an odd, but New Mexico, they're 2-3. It better be Lamar Jordan. That's all I can say. It has to be him going forward because he can make them look okay. All right, we've got two quick games here. Let's wrap this up. Hawaii at Rice. Dude, Hawaii. I didn't watch any of this game, even though it was on my TV here locally. But it had to, well, I mean, the channel my TV, I should say. It was on whatever the American Force Network is, whatever it's called, American Sports Network. It was like Keke Woosley, the quarterback, the whole time. Looking at the stats, because I didn't watch the game, the Air Force Hawaii cannot stop the running game. Or the passing game. Yeah. And they turn the ball
over.
And
they cannot close. All this happened. The last 14 points where Rice took the lead, all that was fourth quarter.
Well, last 21 points. They scored in that. It was 14-7. And then, bam, Rice goes touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Yeah, Hawaii's just bad, guys.
Our guy Chris Turner put on there. Brady, how does this sound? Brady Hoke, head coach of Hawaii Warriors.
Yeah, we didn't get to the Twitter questions yet, but I think there's still better options.
Yeah, we'll see. Hawaii's just bad. They really...
June Jones coming back, anyone?
They said he might be back for administrator, but not a coach.
Athletic director?
Yeah, maybe. They're just bad. Lose to Rice team, and Rice is terrible this year. Yeah. They're not good. I get to travel and all that stuff, and I'm glad they played Woosland. He wasn't great, but, dude, they made Dark Dillard look very good running the ball. So for Rice, but
as a fan of the old whack Hawaii, I'm just hoping that the Warriors actually have a program in 3 years. So
I don't think they're gonna lose their program because, well, it doesn't make any money. If they lose football, they might as well get rid of everything else.
Well, you know, competitive surfing is still a thing.
Beach volleyball powerhouse.
Damn, yeah, there we go.
Actually, regular volleyball powerhouse.
Also very good. Hawaii? Indoor volleyball.
Oh, yeah. And women's water polo is pretty good, too.
Yeah, there we go.
I'll bring that up.
There we go. Who needs football, guys?
That's my sport of choice when I can actually do a few things, excel at. But last game, which my schedule cleared on me, is it San Jose State and your UNLV Rebels, Chris?
You know, at least I have one good team in the Mountain West.
We have more than one team? Okay.
That's yeah.
Fine. Yeah. San Jose, I don't know what to make of San Jose State because I kind of do. They could be a sleeper to win the West. Could be.
They lost to Nevada 21-10, but that game, in terms of everything, was actually relatively close.
Yeah, there was the pick six, and that was Joe Gray's first start.
Yeah, and so, I mean, go in there, beat Fresno State, beat San Diego State, you know, beat the rivals like you usually do, and let somebody else somehow shock Nevada.
And it's San Jose State hosting the Mountain West title game?
No.
Going to Boise, you mean, or Utah State? Or yeah. Colorado State or Air Force?
Right.
One of the many teams I could host. So
that's a good point. If you take any of those four out of the Mountain Division... good little hypothetical there. Do they run away winning the West?
At this point,
they might.
Nevada would still be the top challenger because it depends. As Kayla's out for a long time, Aztecs are done. But yeah, put anybody in the West, they would beat San Jose State probably, beat Nevada or beat UNLV, beat Hawaii, probably Fresno. It would be a two-team race. You take any team, Nevada and them, and still give the edge to the Mountain team.
Hey, okay. So we have. I'm going to take this show off topic right now.
Go for it. That's what we do.
One of our writers just retweeted this. This day in sports, 1991, speaking of Fresno State and the Mountain West, Fresno State ties an NCAA record with 49 points in the quarter to beat New Mexico 94-17.
Whoa, 94-17?
This is while both teams were in the WAC.
Sorry, I got distracted because we wanted to check our traffic in the morning. You know, UniWatch? I'm going further off topic here. You know who UniWatch is, right?
Yes, of course.
Phil Hecken, pretty big Twitter account with uniforms watch.
Paul Lucas, yes.
Paul Hecken.
No, Phil Hecken and Paul Lucas.
Oh, sorry, I got the name backwards, sorry. Well, they gave us a retweet for those helmets I found on the Aztec page, so we're going to blow up tomorrow. That's awesome.
Sweet.
So what was that? Sorry, say that again.
So anyway, the Mountain West.
And what we do here, Sean. Sean, this is what we do. We go off topic, so.
I'm just waiting for the awkward life advice segment.
No, we're not going that far because that for that other show, which I listen to, that gets old a bit, I think, sometimes. Sorry, Dan.
So, yeah, tons of points. And we've already known this for a while, but it was just kind of a cool, fun fact thing.
97 points, that's...
94 points. 94-17 was the score. So, sorry, New Mexico, you're still never going to ever win. Ever.
Never. Ever. So
did Connor Holiday play quarterback in that game?
No, I think it was Carr before Carr.
The first Carr. good.
It's a thousand years of Carr.
All right, so yeah, we're pretty much done. We have one question actually. One question here.
And it has nothing to do with Jeremy's favorite brand of deodorant. I'm just getting that out of the way.
By the way, it's Old Spice, if you're wondering.
What flavor of Old Spice? Or what smell? Smell, whatever the hell you want to call it.
I don't know. Whatever smells good. Ocean breeze, I don't know.
Did somebody really just play that in the background?
No. Oh, you want to know what that is? My I have clothes in the washer, and it kind of sings when it finishes. It makes that sound.
I could have sworn that was like the thing.
No, we're going deep off topic. You know, my washing machine and dryer make a nice sound when they finish, and I'm nearby that. So, but let's get to our one question. I guess the question. Did you see the question, Chris, about generic college football?
Yep.
Do you have it in front of you? Because I don't. I'm on my wrong.
Yes. Who do you guys see as the Aggies' greatest challenge left on the schedule? They said Boise is the easy answer, but outside of Boise.
Air Force this weekend? Maybe?
Sean?
Oh, Air Force is going to be tough, but that game's at home.
Yeah, it's in Logan.
Yeah, that game's at home, so I think going to Colorado State's going to be really difficult. I mean, again, I think DeHart might be the breakout player in the conference. If he has a really good game, you know, you're playing in a pretty tough environment and you're on the road. Yeah, UNLV, no. Hawaii, no. Wyoming, no.
I will be the outlier and say Wyoming could maybe be that team. Maybe.
Well, Wyoming is in that dreaded middle of six-game trap game series, so...
Well, I mean, they're a reasonably good opponent team. They got the toughness of Craig Bowl, and we want to have our bowling punch as much as possible. So we need a few more wins for that. But well, I get Logan and Laramie. They're kind of similar, hard to get to, not easy places to play. And Wyoming's a reasonably good team on defense. And they beat Air Force, and Air Force is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, I was just picking the third team out there. But I'd probably say my number one choice would be CSU.
Yeah.
Okay. So hypothetical, and this is not a Twitter question, but this is my hypothetical mind-blowing simulation. Okay. So Air Force has already lost to Wyoming, right? Mm-hmm. And Boise State has already lost to Air Force.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens now if Colorado State loses? Colorado State has lost to Boise. Okay. What happens if Wyoming loses to Colorado State? Okay, and you just keep on going around and around, so that means Utah State would lose to Wyoming, and it goes just all around until the end of the conference. Who wins the conference?
So who's tied in this scenario then? What's it like? Who? Everybody's tied?
Everybody's tied.
I think in that situation, MLS commissioner then selects the Mountain West champion via blind draw.
Now, whoever won the rock, what's the cup called between Real Salt Lake and Colorado?
The Rocky Mountain Cup?
Yeah. So that means Utah State wins, right?
Yeah.
Can we do like how Qatar bribed, honestly won the FIFA 2022 World Cup, right?
No, if it's a tie, like if so you're honest, well, let's actually answer the question you're asking if a tie. So you should mean you have Air Force, Colorado State, Boise, and Utah State all tie?
And Wyoming. Don't forget Wyoming.
Is that even possible?
I think it is. Well, we need to do the statistics about it. I'm pretty sure it is.
We'll see right now because we'll see. I don't know how it all works. They all play each other essentially. But if that's the case, it'll probably. And I assume in this case, to make it even more convoluted, everybody beats New Mexico in the Mountain Division, right?
Yes.
So it'll probably come down to going to the common opponent in the West Division if they all tie.
So everybody beats Nevada?
Well, I don't know. Everybody plays different teams.
Oh, right.
So, to whoever has UNLV on the schedule in Hawaii, you're golden. So, whoever that is, that's a good shot. And actually, whoever plays San Jose State, Hawaii, and UNLV, that's the team that's probably going to win then.
So, the ball's in Utah State's court.
Do they play all three of those teams?
They do.
Yeah.
Okay. Do. Does anybody else play all three of those real quick?
No, Boise State does not play Hawaii or UNLV.
I believe, yeah. So I guess it is Utah State. Yeah. That's your answer.
So there we go.
Let's double check here. Yeah, because CSU plays Hawaii and New Mexico and San Jose State. Yeah, it's Utah State. There you go. It's the Aggies. There's your answer, Chris.
Can we please have this like scenario just play out? Just I want to see like everybody's heads explode.
Of course,
just because of this.
Chaos upon chaos upon chaos.
Naturally, that's what you want, right?
It's like March Madness up here.
All right, so do we have anything else, any burning questions anybody wants to address at the end of the show here? Lively group meeting here.
I think that's pretty good.
Anything for you about
Mountain West Player of the Week? Who are we looking at? Anybody got a vote other than I'm going to vote for Nick Vigil, but that's just because he's the one guy that I saw in person. But.
Well, but offense or defense? So you just mean like this in general?
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, we can go offense.
I don't know who played defense very well.
I think Nick Vigil could probably get it for both, but
I would say I might be Rashard Higgins. He had 4 touchdown receptions and 170 yards against Tulsa.
Yeah, I'm going to put Higgins. But I'm going to go ahead and put Higgins on there as my person. But I'm also going to put for defensive player of the year week. Sorry, Ian Sale.
Pick six. Helps have a lot. Big game.
He wasn't making a lot of tackles, but he kept Hedrick under wraps.
That worked. That's what I'm telling you. Ian Sale, Brock Hecking, perfect. So that's all we got for tonight. So hey, Sean, thank you for hanging out for our. People may or may not notice there were maybe a few technical difficulties throughout the show. Thank you, whoever has dial up tonight. I don't know. It's usually me, but I don't know. You got Google Fiber, so it can't be you. So
thank you, Google.
You live in the correct zip code down in Utah. But yeah, check out Sean's stuff. If you like soccer, RSL, playoffs are coming up. So I think, right, in about 2 months. Is that about right?
Yeah, check us out, sports.ksl.com. We'll have you guys covered over there. Anything college football in the state of Utah. MLS soccer, a little bit of Utah Jazz basketball starting up right here. So, yeah, sports.ksl.com if I can plug that.
Yeah, definitely. Check them out, DSeanKSL on Twitter. I know she needs to follow our site accounts. That's good to know. Thank you for that. But and, Chris, we also do our obligatory Twitter watch for Chris. How many followers does Greek Padre have?
Hey, I dropped and came back on. I'm still at 391.
You're 390?
No, I lost a follower. Down to 390.
Give Chris a follow to get him to 400. Follow Greek Padre.
No, we've been saying this about like 4 or 5 weeks now.
I don't care. I want it to happen. Hey, here's one of the fun facts. You have more followers than Sean.
Do I really? How is this possible?
Sorry to bring that up, but that's the case. Should we have a fight to the end of the season to get more followers?
No, because I'm going to lose this.
I could always pimp him on my other Twitter accounts, but... That probably wouldn't be very fair.
Yeah, you have a few others that have quite a few amount of people. But all right,
Sean, why do you have the Finley Stadium up as your avatar?
Just from my days in Las Vegas.
Ah, interesting.
There you go. What can I say? I'm a closet Rebel fan.
Can we please get an MLS team? Sorry.
We'll talk about that when we go off air.
Yeah, we'll see if MLS goes. But yeah, thanks for joining us tonight. Again, check us out, mwcconnection.com. Like I said, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, typically Blog Talk Radio when it cooperates in my liking. I have an hour to plug the show on there. But check us out there. A ton of Mountain West stuff going on, of course. We're almost at the midway point. And yeah, check again, thanks for Chris, Sean, Jeremy here hanging out this evening. And listen to our show and download as always.